The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, it's going to be an action-packed weekend of sport from Liverpool and Man City to Ireland playing England at Twickenham in the rugby. And we'll be talking to Phil Egan about the rest of the sport. But first, the rugby. And I'm joined by rugby pundit, former Ireland captain Brian O'Driscoll. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, what's it like being a member of the Irish team heading to Twickenham? Is it kind of an intimidating experience?
Well, in my time, it was. I suppose the goalposts have changed, so to speak, in that the consistency of which Ireland have gone over and performed in Twickenham in the last decade or so probably has taken away a bit of that concern that travelling teams have coming to Twickenham. It's not quite the fortress it once was, but at the same time, I think you have to go over there and be unbelievably wary that England are a very proud nation, and irrespective of what team or what form they've shown, they're never going to roll over in their own ground. So I think a 12-point spread is quite generous to Ireland by the looks of things.
Yeah. Now, the question of the 16th man, you know, the crowd is always a big factor for the home team, but so many Irish live in London. I suspect that the breakdown of the crowd might favour Ireland.
I don't know if it'll quite swing that generously to us, but there's always a huge Irish contingent. I'm over in London at the moment, and even, you know, the conversation last night at an event, I was asked, you know, the crowd must have been at least half Irish. Everybody that I know that lives in London or in the vicinity that is Irish is going to the game. There's always a huge travelling support for it, because it's more often than not, England have been one of the best teams in the world, maybe not quite that at the moment. And it's always a game worthy of winning. And, you know, as Irish people, we do really love to beat England. But I think there's actually quite a close alignment with England with regards to rugby. You know, the nation, the CEOs get on very well, the backroom staff get on very well. So there's actually an alignment with the players when they go on Lions tours as well. So what has happened in the past definitely has been left, but it's more a respect around trying to beat really quality opposition rather than hanging on to things that have gone on in yesteryear.
Now, two deficits, I suppose, looking at the teams and the subs. No room for Ringrose even on the bench. Explain.
Yeah, I suppose it's, you know, Ireland have adopted this 6-2 approach, 6 forwards, 2 backs. You really need a scrum half as one of your 2 back plays because it's such a specialised position. And then someone like Kieran Frawley has the luxury of being able to play in at least 3 positions, whereas Gary Ringrose is probably more of a specialist centre with the capacity to play on the wing. So as a result, the players that can play in multiple positions tend to be ones that are better suited to the bench, particularly on the back of Frawley's performance a couple of weeks ago. So unfortunate for Gary, but just shows the strength and the quality of the two centres in Bundiaki and Robbie Henshaw about how well they have played, that, you know, one of our best players, best performers the last few years, can force his way into this team.
Yeah, and looking at the scrum half position, we see Connor is on the bench, not Casey, to come in for Jemison Gibson-Park.
Yeah, that has been the case with Andy Farrell. I think he's had a preference for Conor Murray with intermittent performances from Casey. He's definitely one for the future. I guess the thing about coaches, when you rely on a player and they deliver for you time and time again, all the great days that Andy Farrell has been involved in with Ireland and with the Lions, Conor Murray has been there and he's never let us down. He's never faltered, and he comes on and he can obviously chase the game or he can close out a game with that much experience. So it's very comforting for those around him seeing someone coming on with 10 minutes to go with his experience.
So going 1 to 15, I'm looking at the team side by side here. There's no position where you'd say we are weaker than them.
No, I wouldn't think you would. I think, you know, it's always dangerous to say who's, you know, if you were to pick a team, you know, of the two sides, you know, how many Irish and how many English would be in. You could argue someone like George Ford, who, again, very experienced player. If you put him into the Irish team, I think he would go incredibly well. Very, very good footballer. Great at controlling games. Good kicking game needed for international rugby. So him along. Ben Earl is another guy that people should keep an eye out for at number 8. He's played very well in a team that has been struggling. So they still have some really world-class operators, and I think they're going to come at us incredibly physically from the off. So it won't be one for the faint-hearted.
Yeah, and George Ford is far more experienced than Jack Crowley, that's for sure. What did you make of James Ryan? He's injured himself in training, a bicep injury, we're told, and that's it for the rest of the Six Nations, the remaining two games, England and the final game then against Scotland.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate, but I guess it is part and parcel. You expect injuries over the course of a Six Nations. I guess we're in a very fortunate position that Joe McCarthy and Ty Byrne have shown such great form, and that to have someone like Ian Henderson come back, I think he's recovering, just come back from dislocated toes. So have that quality to come in and sit on the bench, but also have the prospect of bringing Ryan Baird on at 6 or in the second row, depending on how tired the pack is or how much work they get through. It's a real luxury to have. Just shows the strength and depth of Irish rugby at the moment.
The final question, Brian, is a technical one. I don't really understand it myself, but this term, the blitz defence, which was originally a South African idea, we are now coaching our defence in that manner, but so too are England. What is that about?
Yeah, England's defence is a lot more of a severe blitz than ours is. It's basically trying to fly up. It's like an umbrella from the outside in, the widest man trying to slam close any opportunity for the attacking team. When it works very effectively, as South Africa has shown in the last couple of World Cups, it is so hard to attack against. It's trying to nullify anything that the attack does. But while you're learning on the hoof, they will definitely leave opportunities and can be exposed by this Irish team. So I'd anticipate that we will be able to pick them off a few times. It's probably going to take them a full year to really get accustomed to the switch over from the defensive system they were incorporating to the one they're doing now. So they're going to have to feel some pain in doing so, and hopefully we'll be the one to provide that.
All right. You said it wouldn't be easy, but you still anticipate an Irish win.
I do. I think we'll get it done, but I think it's going to be such a physical game. They've picked a big pack. They have picked some of their biggest players, even out of position, to really put it to Ireland. And I guess if you look at Ireland's defeats over the last 3 or 4 years, of which there have not been many, it has usually been the Achilles heel has been physically dominated at the ruck. So that is going to be the winning and losing of the game. And there's going to be some sore bodies on Sunday, that's for sure.
Brian O'Driscoll, hope you enjoy the game, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Pat. Cheers.
Now, Phil Egan, we've been talking about the big game in Twickenham, but the under-20s are also playing.
Yeah, they're on course, Pat, for a hat-trick of Grand Slams. Never mind back-to-back Grand Slams. This is a great team as well. Obviously, got to the final of the World Cup where they were beaten by France, and they've already beaten France in this year's Six Nations. Again, similar to what Brian said about the main event tomorrow, the English team are going to have a lot of power tonight.
There'll be bruisers in the pack.
Yeah, that's what they do. They beat you up. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Anyway, that's happening in Bath, and we're looking forward to that. Let's talk football. Let's talk soccer, because we've got the top of the table clash, which is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, Liverpool-Manchester City in the Premier League. 3:45 kickoff. I cannot remember a 3:45 kickoff on a Sunday in the Premier League.
Why is that? Because sometimes it's 4:30, sometimes 4:15. But
yeah, and last week you obviously had the half three for the Manchester Derby, and they say it's for policing, but I'm not really sure what the 45 minutes does, but I'm sure somebody will be able to explain it to me. But in terms of the game itself, Liverpool won last night comfortably on the scoreline, but actually a strange game where Sparta Prague were really good. Kelleher had another great game for Liverpool. Ibrahima Konate went off. Jurgen Klopp said it was precautionary, but that would be a big blow if he wasn't playing on Sunday. Joe Gomez went off at halftime again. Jurgen Klopp said it was to manage game time. Mo Salah did come back, so that's encouraging for Liverpool. He scored a goal, which was later chalked off for offside. Nunes scored a couple of great goals. So it's a massive game on Sunday. Obviously, it's not a title decider because this is a three-horse title race. But I suppose the difference this time around is Liverpool and City games, the second game in the season between the two tends to take place in Manchester. So I can't remember a game like this taking place at Anfield, not since the one 10 years ago when Coutinho scored the winner in 2014.
And of course, this will be the last time that Klopp will be presiding over such a game.
possibly, unless they meet in the FA Cup final, but certainly at Anfield. And Anfield hasn't been a happy hunting ground for Pep Guardiola. One win there in the Premier League as Manchester City manager, and that was when there was no crowd there, Pat.
Okay, a couple of other things. We've got League of Ireland matches tonight.
League of Ireland tonight, and Shelburne, Damien Duff, Shelburne, top of the league, one of two unbeaten teams. Derry City are the other ones there as well. And Shelburne make the trip to Bohemians. Derry are taking on Waterford. So I suppose it's been interesting with Damien Duff. His name has been mentioned with the Ireland job. We don't really know where we're at in terms of a permanent Ireland manager. A couple of the other games tonight as well, Galway against Drogheda and St Pat's and Dundalk. Two teams that are really struggling. Pat's, obviously, you would fancy their chances of winning this one as well. The new Women's League of Ireland Premier Division season kicks off tomorrow. And
you were saying, who knew?
Well, this is it. You know, all the talk this week has been about Ireland getting two games at the Aviva for the Euro qualifiers, obviously the England game. That's probably going to sell out on the 9th of April, the Sweden game then on the 31st of May. We don't know where the France game is going to be. But I suppose what we need to happen is Ireland have qualified for a World Cup last year. They obviously are in League A of the Nations League. People are going to go to these games, but people need to go to the bread and butter of the women's game, where the future of the Irish team is coming from these games. So it kicks off tomorrow, and you've got the champions P-Mount away to Cork City. Shamrock Rovers, this is their second season now. I think a lot is expected of them. They play DLR Waves, the cup holders at Athlone. They play Galway. Shells, who did the double a couple of seasons ago, are playing Sligo Rovers. And Wexford, who have had a good record in recent seasons, play Bowes. So it's actually hard to pick a winner for the Women's Premier Division season.
Now, we were talking, you and I, earlier about sports washing and at what goes on in Saudi Arabia. I was listening yesterday to the report of the one-day the Irish cricket team against Afghanistan. I was wondering, why is there no fuss about Afghanistan? On International Women's Day, we think, obviously, of the people who dwell in the boardroom, but also people who are subject to genital mutilation in certain African countries, mothers in Gaza who are being terrorized by bombs and so on. But in Afghanistan, you've got an institutional discrimination against women and girls, no education. And yet we're playing Afghanistan in cricket.
Yeah. And I mean, it's come up in football in recent months, obviously, with Israel being part of, they have a Euro 2024 playoff later this month. Obviously, Robbie Keane's team were in action last night. That game was played in Greece. There was an incident off the field as well before the matches. And this is what comes up where, say, who do you decide is sports washing and who isn't? Saudi Arabia is the hub of it at the moment. You've the Formula One there this weekend. You've the big fight between Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou tonight. The snooker has just taken place there. Ronnie O'Sullivan went home with a cheque for £250,000 and said, you know, great tournament, lovely venue. And next year, if he gets the golden ball, this is the golden break, the 1-6-7 break, which they've created for this tournament, he could walk home or walk away with nearly £1 million. Like, so this is what they're doing. They're putting a lot of money in. Obviously, they own Newcastle as well. But going back to what your original point is, it seems that any sporting event now, there's question marks over.
All right.
Pretty much everything. Worth noting, by the way, a couple of top-of-the-table clashes in the Allianz Hurling League this weekend. You have Clare Kilkenny in 1A. That's at Cusack Park, obviously. Davy Fitzgerald goes up against his former team, Wexford, as well. And you have the Limerick Tip game as well. That's tomorrow night. And that's at Porky Cueve. Limerick and Tip both have 3 wins from 3.
Right. And Shane Larry going well at the golf.
Yeah, one clear. Tom McKibben doing well in South Africa and Stephanie Meadow doing well in China.
Very good. Phil Egan, thank you very much for joining us. Some of the texts coming in. Brian O'Driscoll's last game in the Aviva was this day 10 years ago, according to one of our texters. Didn't know that. Enjoyed listening to Brian's analysis. Such an ambassador for Irish rugby and also a fabulous speaker. That's from Rosemary.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.